Hypocrisy. It's so easy to see it in others, right? But we often don't recognize it in ourselves. We don't want to recognize it in ourselves. Plus, we kind of push that to the side. In today's gospel passage, Jesus sharply rebukes the Pharisees, who are famous for pointing out the shortcomings of others while praising themselves. They find themselves blameless with regard to God's law and see everyone else as lacking. Yet they miss the whole point of the law, and indeed of all God's revelation. Relationship with God. That's what it's all about. And this relationship requires humility, sacrifice, ongoing conversion, none of which are strong suits for most of the Pharisees. But if we're honest with ourselves, we all have Pharisaical qualities too. In response to the scorn of the Pharisees, Jesus reminds them of these words from Isaiah, which they would have known well and they should have internalized. That's the irony that Jesus is pointing out here. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts." And we see so much of this today, don't we? Very common. It is typically easier to follow human traditions, whatever is in vogue, whatever is mainstream, whatever is easy, pretty much, rather than clinging to the eternal truths revealed by God, because these truths demand something of us. How easy it is to honor Him with our words, with our lips, but do we live our lives according to His truths or according to ours? Our truths, of course, are often human precepts. Do we twist His truths to suit our fancies? Do we truly worship Him and seek to grow deeper in relationship with Him each day? Or do we worship our own convenient version of Him? When we go down these paths, and we all do, one way or another, we end up fooling ourselves. But we don't fool God. Try as we may. Clean up all you want on the outside, pretty it up, but God sees what's on the inside. He knows. Just as Jesus says, "Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile." Often we can't control the things that are coming at us. Temptations, the actions of others, the world events. We have little if no control over those. And so we aren't accountable for them, nor do they defile us in and of themselves. However, we can control our response to them. And defilement comes if we respond poorly. From within people, from their hearts come evil thoughts, Christ teaches. Unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. That's quite a list, and we have all been guilty of some of these evils. Thankfully, though, there is good news, because despite our repeated sinfulness, God has an astonishing and merciful love for His chosen people. And that includes us now. It's not just the Jews. After Christ, it includes all of us. And we can see this wonderful love of God in today's first reading from Deuteronomy. "For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? Indeed, He is always there with merciful love every time we reach out to Him, without exception. No matter how far we wandered off, He's always there, ready to welcome us back. And His statutes and decrees are great gifts, not burdens. That doesn't mean they're easy gifts, but they're always gifts. They don't hold us captive, as the world often tries to tell us, but rather set us free from slavery to sin and the seductive whims of this world." In short, they set us free from slavery to ourselves. So we need both grace and truth. We need them both. As Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, a wonderful doctor of the church, he expresses very beautifully in his 74th sermon on the Song of Songs. And I think he has 84 total. That's very beautiful. If you ever get, you can get a book with all of his sermons, top notch. So he says, I need truth that I may not be able to hide from God, and grace that I may not wish to hide. For the stark reality of truth would be intolerable without grace, and the gladness of grace might appear lax and uncontrolled without truth. Beautiful words from Bernard. He gets it. St. James picks up on this same theme and sings the praises of God's truth in today's second reading. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. This is an important and essential reminder that everything God gives us is good. Even if we don't like it, it's still good. And the good things in our life come from Him, not from us. So a lot of times we want to take credit, don't we? But all the good things come from Him. James continues, He willed to give us birth by the word of truth so that we can become His first fruits. Now, on the surface level, James is referring, the word of truth refers to Scripture, right? The words that God has given us. But ultimately, he's referring to the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. He's the fullness of revelation. And he willed to give us birth by the word of truth through Jesus Christ. We were born into Jesus through him, through his grace, through his great victory, his passion, death, and resurrection. And it starts in baptism, continues all throughout our lives, especially in the sacraments. Back to James now. So humbly welcome this word that has been planted in you, initially at baptism, and is able to save your souls. So this isn't like the words we read in a newspaper. This isn't like the words on a blog. This isn't even like the words that I'm using as the basis for my homily. Not at all. This is the only word that can save you, the word made flesh. But you first must receive him. He's never going to force himself on you. You have to welcome him. And that's key. Yet you must go a step further. And as James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. If you only hear the word with your ears and it kind of rumbles around in your brain and then goes out the other ear, it's not doing anything, right? You have to accept it. You have to let the word become flesh in your heart. That's what the liturgy of the word is. That's what we're doing. We have the readings and then we expound upon them with the homily. And then the word becomes flesh right here on the altar and we receive him physically into our bodies. So the liturgy of the word prepares us. It's a beautiful gift. So don't delude yourselves being hearers only. You have to also be a doer of the word. And if you truly let the word become flesh within you, this naturally happens. The word made flesh within you will lead you to action so you can become fruitful in the Lord. That's just how God designed it. True worship and right living is to care for orphans and widows and their affliction. James is pointing to social justice here, but he doesn't stop there. And to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is conversion, letting the word become flesh within you and change you and transform you. That has to come first, so that when we do go out and perform the works, help orphans, help the needy, etc., we're doing it according to God's will, not our own will. Therefore, friends, don't be a judgmental hypocrite, and don't be afraid of God's truths. Instead, receive his truths wholeheartedly and live them out faithfully. This is grace and truth, as Bernard is encouraging us. We need them both. Seek to grow ever deeper in relationship with him through conversion. That's how it happens, through conversion. And he will lead you to true freedom and flourishing. Guaranteed. And then you will not only flourish personally, you'll help many others to thrive as well, because you'll attract many others. They'll see Christ in you. They will come to see that God's truths aren't so bad after all. In fact, they're great. They're wonderful. And brothers and sisters, This is how we help God set this place ablaze with this holy fire. And that's what the Christian life is all about.